This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much to start the recording. We have today one single topic call. I just wanted to let you know that we will have return to our normal work at the next call, and I will try between now and next week to send you a first draft of a document for our group. But I wanted to include what will be discussed today. Really today it's to have a presentation by the Ombudsman of ICANN in the previous one, and to ask them questions and not to discuss the topic. If there are questions you want to raise to the group, can you take them? You can put them in the chat, but keep them for next week, and we will come back on that. I hope that it will allow people who are not participating today at the call to listen to the recording and to participate to the discussion next week. Thank you very much, Herb and Chris, and I give you the floor, Herb, and it's your you take the lead for the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian, merci. Well, good morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody. Thanks for dropping in. I've put together a brief presentation that we'll run through here. I'm hoping that it presents more questions to the group than actually me offering answers, because I'm hoping to stir up a little bit of thinking and creativity as we go along. So the first slide is basically just a recap of the main slide from last week, discussing independence, neutrality, impartiality, confidentiality, informality, and other standards. Now, I added the IOA, which is the International Ombudsman's Association, because I'm assuming their code of their framework and code of behavior and so on, that the standards that they have covering these four topics also expand and discuss other variations and other avenues of these four main topics. So there may be other standards available elsewhere from other organizations, but generally standards that we have for our office are the ones that are used globally. So to dig down a little bit into each one of them, some of the issues and questions that we ask ourselves when we ask independence is whether independence is an actual issue with I'm not sure what's going on here. So whether perception of independence is an issue or actual independence is the issue. Because as far as Chris and I are concerned, independence is something that we have and something that we cherish for the office of the ombudsman. But whether there's a perceived breach in that independence due to our relationships with the board or members of the community or leaders of chairs of some of the groups, and that might be an issue that we can address with a clearer understanding of how those relationships work. So as much as we are independent of the board, we do report to the board. How does the community perceive that, and how do they react to it is something that could potentially be addressed in the future. One issue that we do discuss and has been discussed in the past is the term of the office, which is a 2-year renewable by the board term with a possibility of canceling the contract with a majority decision by the board. Generally speaking, the terms of office for ombuds have been a little bit longer than that, in the 3 to 5 year range. So the independents can be potentially undermined by a short term. And the other issue as far as independents, Chris and I have kind of looked at this and thought of, you know, whether it should be a board appointment for a new ombudsman, or whether possibly there's a role for the non-com to be involved in that. Neutrality and impartiality, of course, fairness is the cornerstone, the foundation for our activities. I added unbiased there because it's something that I like to point out, and that we have what we refer to as frequent flyers, people that sometimes obsessively contact the office for issues that have been dealt with in the past or are completely non-jurisdictional. Every time a contact is made to the office, we have to look at it, because we never know when there may be an element of truth or an element of unfairness to a complaint. So regardless of how frequently people come to us, or how frivolous or vexatious or irrelevant something may be, we always have to look at it in an unbiased manner, as if that was the very first time that individual had maybe contacted the office. So that's just a little point of interest. One of the things that I look at and I'm thinking of for the future is the role of the ombudsman as an advocate to assist in equality amongst groups, in some of the stakeholder groups where you may have a very powerful component that is has taken control of an issue, or taken control of policy writing, or taken control of the direction of a group. And the smaller group, whether it's a perceived, you know, size-wise it's smaller, or whether, you know, it's perceived as a less important group, there may be a role for the office in giving voice to those smaller groups. And again, that would have to be looked at to determine whether that could impact the neutrality and the impartiality, if the role of the ombudsman moves more towards an advocacy type of role. So, confidentiality, a couple of issues actually can be looked at. One of them is how do you maintain confidentiality when there is a string of emails or constant electronic communication going on, whether it's through social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. When the email is sent or received and it heads off into cyberspace, then there's an element of control that is lost. And in the past, we have seen, you know, entire email strings between the ombuds and the complainant, or the, you know, one of the parties involved, going public with that. So that's an issue, and it does impact how we deal with issues, because we have to continually think of that in the back of our minds about how public our confidentiality could potentially be. confidentiality also, as far as the organization, the ombuds office goes, doesn't mean we can't talk to people. So it's very important that we have open lines of communication with the relevant organization or department in the organization. So if we have a compliance issue that comes across the desk, or an issue involving, you know, one of the meetings or policy or whatever, it's very important that we have that, you know, clear, open communication with the member of staff or the department. So, in as much as we're confidential, we also have that element of communication that's critical for the running of the office. I'm just reading here. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do the presentation, and I'm just glancing down. There's been a few comments. Sebastian, did you want me to deal with the questions right now, or do you want me to take those offline after the presentation is completed?
Herbert, Sebastian, it's really up to you. How it's easier for you to deal, if you prefer to go through your whole presentation and then come back to question, it's okay. If you want to stop and answer the question, it's okay too. It's really up to you how you feel.
Just to briefly answer the question. Yes, the ombudsman is under contract. It's a contractual role with the organization. So, I mean, the contract is necessary to hire the ombudsman. And I'll leave your second question, I believe, to the group, because that is actually one of the questions, whether examining the independence is also pertinent to examine the position of the ombudsman. That's something that the organization could discuss. The next slide, I'm not sure how that became red, but I did not highlight that privacy issue as red, so I apologize for that. Informality, as far as informality goes, just to show the two extremes, where the ombuds for Coca-Cola has zero records in his role as an ombuds, versus, you know, our office with the complaint management system, a case management system, online complaint form. We use emails. It's an online environment. So we have adapted the office to accommodate that type of a world, but it does add an element of formality. Again, I'm not sure why the privacy issues was brought up, but that is brought up in red, but it shouldn't be. As far as informality, we have in our case management system the storage of complaints and the archives back to the beginning. So if that's an issue that the group wishes to bring up, whether there should be an element of, as far as the standards or the industry standards that should be respected for maintaining records, it's something that can be looked at by the group. As far as informality goes, a huge element of that is based on trust. So not only must the organization trust the ombuds to be, you know, offer the qualities and the qualifications and the quality service that goes with the office, but the community also, through that trust, must be able to maintain an open, trusting relationship with the person. It's not... and it's very important to understand that the role of the ombuds is not that of an appeal office. Informality, it's to look at the elements of a case, an informal, reasonable person, and I added that in the last comment, point of view. So the average citizen looking at an issue should relatively speaking, come to the same decision as the ombuds. It's looking at the process and saying, was it fair or not fair, and not looking at the decision and saying, was the decision fair or unfair. Those are two completely different things. So if the process is looked at and is deemed to be fair, as any come to that conclusion, then that's the informality of the office in a nutshell. Dealing the office would be a first stop when somebody has an issue, but it doesn't mean it can't be a last stop. And again, looking up at the independent review and the reconsideration accountability mechanisms, the ombudsman can step in at any point around those issues if there's an element of fairness. But again, not as an appeal mechanism for decisions that are come to by either of those, unless the decision, of course, then arrived at through an unfairness in the process. So some of the challenges that the office deals with on a regular basis is complaints coming in that can be potentially extremely technical versus complaints of inappropriate behavior or interpersonal relations and issues that come up that really can be dealt with more on the level of common sense. So it's a challenge to be able to do those and do them both fairly and consistently, and not have one take up more time than the other. The smaller issues that might be involved with interpersonal relationships or something along that line can be just as important to the organization as some of the major technical that quite often involve litigation and the independent review and the reconsideration accountability mechanisms. They can be very elaborate in the information that. It's balancing that formality of the office with a case management system using emails versus the reality of face to face, having discussions with people and doing mediation or some form of shuttle diplomacy to resolve issues. So where in one situation we may be just, trying to settle an indifference of opinion between two people, at another level of our role, we're dealing with, multi-million dollar issues between big players. Another challenge, item four there of reaching out to the community is a big challenge for the office because, people are all over the world. There are community members in all various different time zones. We're limited more or less to reaching out to those communities at the meetings. And that can be a challenge in itself because there are time constraints. Everybody is so busy when the people get together at the meetings that it can be a big challenge getting a message across from the office. And just give me a moment there. I'm trying to catch up in the discussion thread. Okay. I see a lot of those questions now, particularly Jose's, that possibly are better topics of discussion for the group. So one of the possibilities of raising the profile of the ombuds is to have, and we have had in the past, orientations to newcomers, staff and the next gen. But they are one-off orientations that have to be planned in advance. And so possibly there's room for a more structured orientation for the newcomers to the organization. We have an online presentation that is available, but again, if we can't get that information and that communication out to the people in an appropriate manner, then you know, they don't get on to see the information in the presentation. A challenge we've seen, particularly in the new GTLD process, was what's come to our attention a couple of times is comments that people are using the office to game the system to as an element to delay contractual completion of the new GTLD system, or for whatever reason, but using it as a delay, the office as a delay mechanism. So that's something that the group can think about as we move forward, whether there should be a more robust policy or you know, practical standard of how to deal with situations like that when it's evidently a delay tactic. But it all boils down to that I don't think the Office of the Ombuds should have a need to hire a team of lawyers or a huge support staff. As we move more towards the formal side of operating the office, it gets more and more complicated and it gets more and more legal, and I hope that we can keep it much more informal than that way. So moving forward, we've already seen one set of bylaw changes as far as the reconsideration accountability mechanism. It is important to note that that reconsideration or addition of the additional step of the ombuds moving in at the reconsideration stage issue hasn't been looked at by the ombuds in the past. So if there's already been a ruling by the office regarding that issue, then it goes straight to reconsideration. But if it hasn't, if it's a new issue that hasn't been addressed by the office in the past, then the new bylaw asks the ombuds to take a look at it again for process and to determine that there was fairness in the process and that there is no reason for the ombuds to come up with a formal ruling on the case. Again, formal versus informal. How far does the office towards one extreme or the other? There's a decision of to be made at some point whether this becomes a very formal office of review or whether it should be maintained more as a community service for the people. That's a debate that's ongoing in the ombuds community as it is here. How far should the ombuds stretch out into the community as a resource? I think that personally, that's the place for the ombuds. But again, you know, that's without taking away the important role of accountability at the higher level. Is there possibly a position or a place for the ombuds in the development of policy? And if there is, I think it's more in line with the idea of what I mentioned before of ensuring that all of the parties are given and that one party is not overpowered by either financial resources or legal resources or sheer numbers. And are not giving voice to a situation. So I think there is a role there that could possibly be formalized. Again, should policy issues maybe come past the Ombuds office as part of policy, again, potentially. I do see the Ombuds as having a role for ethics and code of conduct, and I mean, as much as anybody from the community can come to the office to complain about harassment, bullying, or inappropriate behavior, I also see the role of the Ombuds as being a champion or an advocate for appropriate behavior and appropriate ethical decision making. So potentially that could be formalized a little bit better in the future. In the coming, this is just to give you a little bit of an idea of the direction I will be taking in my role as the Ombuds. I want to do what I'm calling inreach to the community, because outreach is has more of an overtone of going outside of the organization, and I want to spend as much time as possible reaching out to this to the groups internal to the community. But in as much as I want to get out and open that avenue of communication with some of the smaller groups and the stakeholder groups, I also want to ensure that clear and respectful relationships maintained with the board and the community leaders. The leadership, especially in some of the stakeholder groups and the constituency group, the leadership is critical to the proper functioning of the organization as a whole. And I believe that there's potential there for the Ombuds office to be a resource, not just to the board, but also the community leadership in helping everything run smooth. Again, potentially, I mentioned board and community leaders having some sort of an Ombuds station. If not a formal orientation, at least an immediate contact, so that when new leaders come into the organization, that there's an immediate opening of communication with the office, so that develop relationships and open that line of communication. I'm going to try to be an advocate for open, I won't say open speech, but for making sure that everybody gets their views heard, regardless of the size or potentially perceived unimportance of a group. I know that some groups out there are not seen to be as important, and I think that's an unfair perception by some of the members of this organization and some of the members of the various groups. So I want to be there for those people. And finally, you know, ethical behavior is a cornerstone for any good organization to run on. So I'm going to do my best to promote, you know, the code of conduct through my communications with the organization, and hopefully raise awareness of what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, and take it from there. So this slide is from last week, but it does pose a very interesting question, kind of in a global sense. And again, it's about, you know, how is this office going to interact with all other mechanisms that the organization has? We don't want duplication, but we do want effectiveness and efficiency. So we have to keep in mind that there is no overlap, that if there is a role for the Ombudsman moving forward, that it be an appropriate one and one that is, you know, positive for the organization and the people. So you will notice that all of these comments have big question marks. I think, kind of in a nutshell, this is the things that this group can be focusing on as we move forward. The role of the ombudsman in the accountability, to what extent informality is to be balanced with formality, the supporting and the structuring of communication between the office and the various members in the organization, the building of relationships. Trust is a critical factor, so we always have to ensure that there's a building of trust, and all have to, I guess, look into our little crystal balls and decide, what's ICANN going to look like after the transition, and hopefully come up with an ombuds framework and a role that will appropriately fit into that post-transition world. People have been furiously typing, so I'm hoping somebody's been following on. Chris, I noticed that you're there. Is there anything that requires immediate attention in the chat forum?
It's Sebastian speaking. Chris, do you want to add something to give us your feedback as a previous ombudsman of the organization? Do you want to take this opportunity to tell us a few words in addition to the very good presentation of Herb?
Yeah, thanks, Sebastian. Can everyone hear me okay?
I guess if you speak a little bit closer to your mic, it would be better.
Oh, right, okay. One of the things that's been going on in the chat room is that I'm not sure people have really quite understand the concept of the ombudsman who has a mediator-type role and not a decision-making role. It's very important to emphasize that an ombudsman is not a judge or a decision maker. So talking about having a bench of ombudsmen or similar approaches misses the point about what we do. Herb has emphasized the informality of what we do, and one of the reasons that we are informal is that our primary tool is mediation, which means we try and work between the parties, and it's not necessarily even a formal structure. We just work between them and try and achieve some consensus between them. So in that sense, it's consistent with the other sorts of roles in ICANN where we try and build on consensus decision-making. The ombudsman is an integral part of that because when people do disagree, we will try and facilitate agreement between them. Now, that's not always the appropriate tool because sometimes if we find unfairness, then we're going to have to go into an investigation and make recommendations. But again there, we can recommend until we're blue in the face. Nobody is obliged to do as we say. I need to talk in the past tense, ever tell the board or a member of a group that they must do something. All I can ever do is politely suggest. And that's really the role of an ombuds, to have this informal approach where you can get in, deal with problems without being bogged down in process and formality. And that's something that Herb has emphasized very much, that informality is a real strength of the office because we don't have to sit down and deal with formal pleadings as you would if you were in an appeal process. you just get down and deal with the issues in a sort of a quick and dirty way, rather than have somebody who sits up on a bench and looks down their nose at the parties. We're down there in the community directly dealing with issues. I think that's about all I want to say.
Thank you, Chris. And any question from the participant of this conference call to the ombuds? If not, can I ask you, Herb, to make some conclusion words, and we will end the call and take into account your inputs to our work, certainly, and take advantage of your participation to the group. Once again, thank you very much for giving this presentation. Herb, it's yours.
Thank you, Sebastian. And thank you to everybody that's participated, and I'm going over some of the comments, and I see that, I hope that in the next few days, some of the items that I've put on some of the slides may spur a moment of reflection and assist the group in developing a direction towards the office. Of course, Chris and I are completely open to any comments you may have or questions or suggestions. And I can only say that as the group moves forward, that we both hope we will be able to assist in any way possible with the outcome of this working group. So, Sebastian, merci pour l'opportunité. Thank you for the opportunity to present this. And again, please do not hesitate to reach out to Chris or I for any questions or comments at all.
Okay, thank you very much, Herb. It's Sebastian Bachelet speaking, and thank you for all the participants. And we will finish the call now and have a good evening, night, day, whatever, where you are, and talk to you next week with the whole group and with some input, hopefully, using that very nice presentation. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.